announcements. Come on in. Come on in. It's perfectly fine. Announcements are made all the time. We hear about announcements in all kinds of contexts and in all kinds of about all kinds of things. We see them on TV, we hear them on the radio, we receive them in our email, our friends tell us different things. We even hear announcements at church. Can you believe it? So what do we do each day when announcements come our way? How do we respond? Are we listening? Are we attentive? You know, sometimes we miss things just because of the sheer amount of information that comes our way. Maybe the volume's too low. Maybe we're not paying attention. I got to tell you, when I was in middle school and high school, we had announcements every morning. We endured them. Right? They became that background noise. And if somebody asked us what was said, we probably didn't know. That I do know is that whatever we tune our ears, whatever we set our minds on, those are the things that we'll pay attention to. In these next 4 weeks, I'm going to be preaching through a series a little logo online on our Facebook page. If you haven't, today we have a little candle on there. It said, and a question about what do you expect? Look at the life of a person who heard an announcement, and this. And so I'd invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his kingdom will never end. How can the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going. Able to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth for Lord, you are the very rock and redeemer of our lives. We place our you would speak afresh to us. Lord, may we have ears to hear, eyes to see. The words that you have to say to us. For we ask. You know, announcements can be intensely personal. in verse 28. I got to think that you, has a message for them. I mean, Mary's minding her own business, going about life in Nazareth on a regular basis here in New Hampshire or Massachusetts. I'm guessing she was a pre-aged. In fact, she was betrothed. And betrothal is a little bit different than engagement. In fact, you could be betrothed at the age of 12 years old. Think about that for a second. 12 years old. And if the relationship didn't work out, you couldn't just break up. You had to go through a divorce. That's how serious betrothal was. Now, in the midst of the wedding plans, Mary received an announcement, a personal one, by an angel named Gabriel. Mary, you're favored by God. That favor wasn't based on anything that Mary had done or ever would do. It wasn't based on her ability to become pregnant. It wasn't based on her holiness. The favor is simply the fact that God's purposes would be accomplished in and through Mary. The Lord is with her. She experiences the splendor and the presence of God. I think you'd have to admit with me, that's a pretty awesome experience. Can you think of a teenager having this kind of experience? Wouldn't that get your attention? And what's fascinating here is the Lord comes to communicate with an individual. Mary wasn't in the best of towns. Everybody knew that nothing good would ever come out of Nazareth. And yes, she was a young woman with wedding plans on her mind. She was probably thinking about what life would be like with Joseph. I mean, because she was betrothed to him. She was a teenager of all people. You know, it's common for folks to roll their eyes at teenagers. But the good news is that God doesn't. God doesn't. He takes the time to meet personally with this young woman and speak with her. I've never had a visit from an angel that I know of. If I did, I was totally unaware. But if an angel did appear up close and personal, I'm not sure how I'd respond. How would you respond? Do not fear. Consider carefully what you hear. Announcements can be met with all kinds of different emotions. Mary responds with surprise and doubt. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this may be. Didn't say she freaked out. She was troubled. She knew something was going on. And there's nothing unusual about her response. She's speechless. I mean, what do you say when an angel shows up? Gabriel has her undivided attention. What would be going through her mind? Why me? Why now? Why this greeting? What does God want to do? And what does this mean? I think we'd probably all respond like that. And in the midst of the surprise and the doubt, there's fear. How do we know this? After Gabriel greets Mary, he says, "Don't be afraid." Have you ever noticed in Scripture that when angels show up, the first thing they have to do is say, "Don't be afraid, do not fear"? It's got to be a tough job being an angel. Everybody's afraid of you, even when you have good news, right? Mary's no different. There's fear. But fear gives way to wonder as God begins to share this plan. She will miraculously and supernaturally conceive and bear a child whose name would be Jesus. He would be called great, the Son of the Most High. He would rule over David's throne, and his kingdom would never, ever end. Imagine hearing those words as a teenager. Imagine hearing those words. In the midst of the wonder, Mary responds, "How can this be?" She knew the facts of life. She wasn't married. There was absolutely no way that she could do this. But Gabriel tells her about her relative Elizabeth. Gabriel had been at work in Mary's family. God had been at work in Mary's family, and God was at work in Mary. Nothing is impossible with God. Hearing that kind of announcement, it's got to be overwhelming. It was about 4.5 years ago, I was sitting in Detroit in a meeting of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church, and I was distracted by a phone call. My daughter called. I kind of expected it. It was Father's Day. But what I didn't expect is both of my daughters were on the phone. And they said, "Hey, Dad, happy Father's Day. The cards are in the mail." My youngest said, "The present is in the mail. I still haven't received it." And my oldest said to me, "Dad, your Father's Day gift is coming in about 8 months. Wait for it." I was going to be a grandfather. What great news, right? And then my daughter says, "You can't tell anybody." "For how long?" "Well, a couple months." "All right." The question I asked, "Well, does your mother know?" "No, and don't tell her." It's hard for secrets sometimes to be kept. Here I was with the greatest news in the world for me, and I couldn't say anything. Think about Mary. Think about the news that she heard. What was the conversation like at the dinner table with her parents that night? Can you imagine her telling them what had happened? And what about Joseph? How's she going to tell Joseph? The emotions may be a little bit different, but the emotions are significant. Do not fear. Consider carefully what you hear. Announcements call forth a response. Mary's response is clear. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Did that happen immediately? We don't know the time frame that Gabriel was with her. Was it a couple minutes, a couple seconds, a couple hours? We don't know. Luke doesn't tell us. We probably don't need to know. All we need to know is that Mary responded. She responded faithfully. She was open. She was attentive. And she was receptive to what God had in mind. God was inviting Mary to take part in a vision that was much larger than she was, and in a kingdom that was beyond what Mary could ever imagine. God chose to send an angel to a teenager to reveal this plan. God chose a faithful teenager and let her in on this grand and glorious plan. Isn't that just like God? Isn't it? And God invites us to take part in a vision that is much larger than us. God invites us into a kingdom that is larger than we could ever realize. We're reminded of that every time we come to this table, because when we eat the bread, we remember that Jesus gave himself because of our sin. As we share the cup, we remember that Jesus shed blood that our sins would be forgiven, that we might know new life and what it means to be a part of this kingdom. You know, after I read this passage, in fact, every time I read this passage, I find myself in wonder and in awe. I marvel at the timing. I marvel at the wisdom. I wonder if God chose to speak, would I be open? Would I be open to hear a whisper or a word from a friend? Would I be open to hear the scriptures afresh or to sense God's spirit in silence? Would I be open to a visit or a voice from an angel? How about you? Would you be open? Do not fear. Consider carefully what you hear. We live in a world that's filled with announcements. We get bombarded by them. In fact, I would bet that your email inbox is full with sales. Some of the information we get brings good news, some brings bad news. The question is, what will we listen to and how will it affect us? But even more important, who will we listen to and how will we respond? May we be people who do not fear, but consider carefully what we hear. My friends, we are called to this table. And people will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in God's kingdom. The prophet Isaiah says, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end."